Howdy, howdy, hey. Welcome back to Trek Chat, a podcast brought to you by Trek on the Tube. I am your usual host, Sean. Joining me today, well, first of all, my co-host, you know, Starfleet Boy. He gets that title. He's always here. He's helping me out. How you doing? Thank you so much for joining me.
Good and proper. Glad to be here. And glad to be here with your other guest, who's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we have a pretty awesome guest here. Larry Nemechek, a.k.a. Dr. Trek, a.k.a. what is it? The Blue S? Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's great. It's a pleasure to be here with you guys. And I just, I'm putting on my fanboy persona today so we can talk.
I knew you were one of the background vocals on extras on Lower Decks. I didn't know you had voice talents there. That's cool.
I was one of the background voices on Ollie and the Big Blue S, which was a major 80s children's Saturday morning show. It was a diversity thing.
You kind of sound like Captain Kangaroo a little bit.
You have to keep that voice now for the whole
How do you
whole
know
hour?
Captain Kang? No, I know. I can't sustain. Yeah. I could sustain it physically, but I couldn't sustain it mentally.
I'm 44. I just look like I'm Sean's age, so I have a little bit more.
Well, yeah, good morning, boys cheating. And girls. Yes, let's go over here to Magic Drawing Board, and we'll see what exactly. Mr. Green Jeans and Dancing Bear yes. are up to. Okay, you want to go down that Captain Kangaroo path? I can sure go with you.
You think that was ever at Comic-Con? Did they ever do conventions for that?
Yeah. The Captain Kangaroo Hall H moment.
Hall H.
Oh, boy.
The Infinity Saga. You know what I mean? They got all these movies planned out and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It was Captain Kangaroo, Lamb Chops, and Mr. Big, Rogers. That was the crossover.
The big,
that's the event. Well, Mr. Big, Rogers, I know.
Mr. Bainter, the Painter spinoff saga. Yeah, okay. Well, we have totally lost the audience now. I thought they were going to talk about Star Trek, Marge.
Nope.
Okay.
We are going to talk about Star Trek. We're going to talk about the San Diego Comic-Con 2022 announcements, because Star Trek got a Hall H. They were up there with all the big boys. They were up there with DC that announced nothing, and Marvel that announced every single thing for the next decade. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're just pumping out product.
Marvel, well, it's got been that a product. Pandemic. It's been a pandemic, and there was kind of a backflow. And then,
Larry hates the word, but he's gonna have to concede at some point that it is no longer art; it's just content.
It is. It's just content. Here, let me open up a couple more cans of that content and dump them out there on the plate for you. Yeah, how you big heaping pile of content right there.
we didn't get that much stuff when it comes to Star Trek. We didn't get that many announcements, and I feel like we didn't get that many surprises. But what we got was juicy, and I loved it, and I'm very excited for what we saw.
Apparently, you're not much into goatees, because there was some just shocking. Oh, this is ridiculous. Yeah, we'll get there. I'm amazed at Trek Twitter sometimes, or the fandom. It's like I wake up in the morning and I go, gee, I wonder what's going to piss off the loud 10% today. You know, really? Worf's hair?
Okay, we can talk about that. We can open with Worf's hair, right? Let's open with Worf, the return of Worf, people. If you're unaware, Picard Season 3 is going to pick up with, like, the old gang from The Next Generation. I am perhaps a bit meanly calling Picard Season 3 TNG Season 8, because it feels like it's going to be more closely related to The Next Generation than it is, like, Picard so far. But we have, like, all of the main characters, or at least most of the main characters from TNG that are coming back. And so, of course, we have Worf. And he ain't looking like no Discovery Klingon, because I don't know why people were expecting that. But they still found something to complain about. He has a goatee, and it's white. And people are mad. Explain to me why they're mad, Larry. I don't get it.
You're going to put this on my big heap and pile of content plate? That's what's in my content salad? Explain why Trek fans are upset about fill in the blank?
Well, you've been explaining why people are mad for, like, what, 50 years of fandom? You know why people get mad.
Listen, if I ever told you the story, in the first time I ever came across an old school, what were they, Fido board? Okay, so when the internet was first happening, but before we had social media, people had message boards, right?
Trek BBS.
Trek BBS, yes. And FidoNet. I had some friends who were very, you know, modem savvy, bod savvy. I think this was like 1989. and they were like, Larry, you should come see this new thing. There's message boards and people are always asking questions, and apparently no one has any clue about the right answers, and they just sit around and argue and speculate and debate all day.
They need
And I know you could sit down and probably answer some people's questions. Now, how primitive was this? Almost cute. It's almost like adorable in its simplicity. So I go back to the bedroom where he's got his little, like, you know, black and white monitor set up and the modem, and we're creeping along. And so I don't even know what it was about, but somebody said two people were arguing about something. And I was like, oh, well, this is easy. It's like, guys, just like I do, guys, you're both partly right. And within 10 minutes, like, neither one of them ever acknowledged and said, oh, that's awesome, or thank you, or even, hey, I disagree with that. It was just, they'd had this long comment thread. I basically made them both correct and said, you can calm down now, and you're both partly correct, and here's a third thing. I said that, the thread went cold, and they immediately started arguing about something else. has been a lifelong. That's the metaphor. That's the avatar for.
Yeah, you can put the dressing you want on the content salad. They'll find another salad to go and argue about. Is that it?
Yeah, it's basically like, oh, I didn't want an answer. It's like we're just Tellarite-ing here. We're just with no offense to Tellarites, but you know, in the Sarek the classic Sarek definition. Yeah,
I love it. Tellarite-ing.
Yeah, Tellarite. I'm going to use that if you don't mind. I just want to say my hot take on Worf is that he looks like a badass Dahar master, and I'm surprised no one. I hope he's a Dahar master, actually.
You're carrying a sword around Kurleth on your back.
That ain't no sword. Well, it is, I guess.
No, it is.
If you're carrying that around on your back, I hope you're a Dahar master inspired by your old.
Well, I thought he'd be an ambassador, but like with a weapon on the back. I don't, maybe not. Maybe he's not.
He's got
diplomat.
Some new story. It's cool. I think they're gonna,
Worf has a multifaceted background. But does this core thing about people jumping in to decide what Worf? Okay, number one, have we had any other canon evidence of what Worf looks like in 2401? I don't think so. And the people that even point to All Good Things, it's like that was a fake future.
Right?
Do you not get about? Yeah. Let me tell you, like, there's this guy named Q who's from this continuum, and anything he gets your panties in a wad about is all fake future. It's all fake. There's no quantum mechanics going on here. It's all snap your fingers and it's Q magic.
You know, that's Star Trek's fault, though, because every time they did an alternate future, which was a different one, they reused the same badge because they had that prop on hand. So now it's confused everyone. And everyone thinks it's always the same future.
No, but even the badge is different.
It's
No, this one is. I agree. But like throughout the run of like TNG and Voyager, they would use the same prop.
No, that's, you weren't supposed to say, oh, look, it's the fake future. It's, oh, look, it's another fake future. No, right. I know. It was from the
actually, all futures are fake except the one you're living. That's it.
Yes.
Which is called the present. So there you go.
Both futures are fake.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but the correct present is my prime reason for existence. So.
Nice. Oh, there we are.
There you go. There you have it. So there we
Anyway,
see.
I just.
I think that's offensive to all the like alternate universe people.
Oh, are you saying I'm being timelineist?
Yeah, I think so.
Are you saying I'm being universist?
It's not because we have different quantum signatures that, like, you know, at heart we're all the same. Like, I can't see bright colors, apparently, depending on what show.
So seriously, since we're on Worf's beard here, you know what? I mean, I kind of, you asked me why I think people react, and you know really why it might be. Now, I just saw some, yet another YouTuber who wasn't, I think we're really out of the phase of the toxic YouTuber, the obvious. I mean, they're still out there. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I thought we've made fun of them for ages, and thank God they wound up not winning the day. I think the great avalanche.
I blocked everyone's existence, so I forget that they exist.
Well, if only that were how to get rid of them. But there are a lot of YouTubers out there now who aren't toxic, but they're just kind of like blathering their lips to blather their lips and get, and they have tens of thousands of, I saw a new guy.
Me?
So Chris Jones just sent me from Truck FM, sent me a deal of some guy who's kind of like, it's almost like frame by frame, just talking about whatever floats into his brain as things fly by.
Yeah. Content, baby.
And he's not obnoxious. he's very, you know, and he's works in the industry, not in Star Trek analysis, apparently, but he works in the industry. And but this, he got off on the hair thing too, and talking about, well, and you know, in the original series, there was always a gap, and it was always a Fu Manchu for Worf.
Wow, geez.
And he went through this, which is all true. And he's throwing in the, you know, the fancy insert photos, and he obviously spent more than, you know, 10 minutes editing this video. But I just, it's like, why would you? What did you do when you were 20 and 30 and 40 that you're doing when you're? I mean, it's like the whole. It's like. I thought Star Trek was trying to have a realistic timeline across the decades, and people are stuck in amber from some, I don't know. It's weird.
I want to add a parenthesis to this. So you sent me this video, and I immediately told you I'm not watching 11 minutes of someone talking about Worf's face, so I'm not watching that. But now that channel has like how many thousands? Like this channel has surpassed me on like 50,000 different levels. So clearly, dude's doing something right. He's talking about nothing, and people love it.
You got to surf or game that algorithm.
Exactly. Really he's working it a lot better than I am. I'll tell you that. He's beard savvy.
The more the math of Star Trek YouTube and Twitter emerges, the more I am sadly understanding what's going on in the world at large. It's like these people are all saying nothing and they have tons of followers. It's like, oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's kind of echoing that prime universe we are all so intent on saving. Yeah.
Hey, if I could jump to another universe, I'd go to Kelvin. It seems a little bit better than it.
Like, it's at least more shiny.
It's shinier. Yeah.
It's just that, like, the video as it stands has 10K views, and like the channel's at like 30K
well,
subscribers.
I'll just say this: there's a couple of things. There's a couple of things. I think I don't really spend too much time analyzing it, but I did analyze this with a friend of mine who had the same exact kind of question. And it just, like, first of all, the three of us do long format discussions and usually have guests on our platform, you know, our things, right? So because of that, I think we're always gonna have, you know, it's always gonna favor the 3-minute video or the 4-minute video or the 11-minute video over an hour long, you know, program. But I'm actually more sad. Like, to me, this is like the love of my life. I'm gonna talk about it whether it's on YouTube or not. I'd rather talk about it with friends, and I'd rather come like what we're doing here, you know, like so I think in the long run we win.
Well, it's the convivial format, isn't it? Right.
It's the convivial format. Yeah, right, I agree.
Right. It's not about quantity. It's about quality.
Right. Exactly.
Get your N and your L correct there. No, you know what? I had a thought about this. I'm wondering, because it felt like it was very knee-jerk reaction. For one thing, Picard. What was there? Lord X had a nice actual promo season trailer, but it's up next in the rotation. It's coming.
Yeah.
So they had panels
like in a month, basically, right?
And they had panels for Strange New Worlds, which just finished and was very hot. And they knew they were going to trot out the crossover episode. So that made sense. And then Picard has just made the splash with the last month or two, the revelation about the TNG gang back. And as one by one, all the original Picard characters all said, okay, well, I guess I'm out of here. Whether it was their own volition or they were shown the door. Sorry, too crowded. Must go out the airlock. But I saw people go, gosh, there was no Discovery panel. I'm like, well, it's
so far away.
It's at the other end of the year. They just started a new season and no one really cares. Oh, I didn't say that. No.
It's not the hot new thing, is what you're saying.
No, it's not the hot. It's been around for 5 years.
Yeah.
Plus, no one really. Oh, no, I didn't say that either. Okay. it's the most representative Star Trek, groundbreaking representative depiction of the future on our small screens we've ever had in Star Trek. And not much else. Okay.
I have a question for both of you, actually. This Ooh. Is like a this just
I'm actually going to get back to my original point here in a second.
What's your opinion? What is the present, like, what is like the present? We were talking about this earlier in Star Trek. Is it the 25th
Picard.
Century or
Star
the
Star Trek Picard?
Oh, okay. Or is it the 32nd century?
No, Star Trek Picard is the present.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, is it the late 23rd? Is it the 23rd century or the 24th into the 25th century?
No, the 24th to
no,
the 25th.
No, it ain't Discovery. So... Whatever you're going to say, it's not. Discovery is in the future.
So it is a show in the Star Trek universe. You see it as set in the future, and you see the present as being
And Strange New Worlds is in the past of like the future.
Okay, okay,
that's how I see it.
Right, and it would it would be clearly a choice for 2401, whatever you want to call that century. Yeah, it's the turn of the century from the 23rd and 24th. No, I mean it would clear until Strange New Worlds. Strange New Worlds has made this time period cool again, and people are investing time in it. And I hope they are. Some people can't apparently tell the difference between 2259 and 2266. So 7 years can be an eternity, just to ask a hungry Vulcan. But, you know, aside from that, though, Strange New Worlds has brought back the sexiness of that time where they've been kind of like blown, like, well, what is really going on here? I'm confused after Discovery. But let me back up just a second to Worf's hair a second. I think, seriously, part of the reason why that was such a knee-jerk reaction out of the gate, what I was trying to say was there was no real big, the only reveal visually for Picard at Hall H at Comic-Con was the slow-motion poster parade of the character heads.
Right.
Right? And then you had only Patrick and Gates, Sir Patrick and Gates there.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was kind of the softball of the three anyway. So I almost think that anybody who is invested in that time frame, what you just said, that was their main focus, not so much Strange and not so much Lower Decks.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing of all was as the faces go by, and hey, good on Jonathan. Looks like he's trimmed up a little bit. Yay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm sure he and
Jonathan Frakes looks a bit more like his Lower Decks version.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's got a bit more of a square jaw. Anyway, carry on.
But this thing about the reaction to Worf's hair, since it was white, and I think people, aside from their Klingons, not humans, but come on, get off of it, you know, and karma and species, you know, you worry about Klingon bug heads being species diversity or all the 14 different kinds of Tellarites there are. Can we just have like individual diversity? Like, oh, I don't know, everybody ages at different rates, much less what does an aging Klingon look like? And we've seen a lot of them. We've even seen an albino
idea.
But as usual, it's not about, I know, preposterous. It's not about the future and a fictitious reality. It's like, you know, Star Trek is really about us, not about the future, as they always love to say. And I think what it was there was just a lot of, I could say fanboys, but I won't say that. I think there was a lot of audience members who it just kind of was a shock to see white-haired Worf.
Right.
And I think for everybody who loves Worf, and you'd seen LeVar, you know, LeVar was his naturally salt and pepper gray beard. You've seen Jonathan Riker, and you've seen him already with his salt and peppery gray beard, going more salt than pepper these days. But nobody had seen, you know, Michael hasn't had his face out there. He pops up in interviews. He might be helping his hair, you know. But to see him go shock white, I think was shocking for fan people who suddenly felt very old. I'm just thinking it suddenly slapped people that it had been 20 years and or 30 years since they'd seen Worf on TV and they didn't like the idea of it being, you know, we all go, oh my God, I can't, you know, everybody has their thing of going to, you know, class reunions and, you know, the thing about when you said, oh my God, you were born. You weren't born when fill in the blank. For me, it was born before Apollo 11.
It's a reflection of their reality, I guess.
Yes, reflection of their reality and time passing. And I think everybody loves to be little kids watching their Star Trek, and suddenly they're not 15, they're 45 or whatever. And I think Worf's white beard just struck a nerve in some people, and it was like, well, he can't be that old. Meaning, he can't be that white, as in this particular Klingon, it makes, that's a big deal. But for them, the nerve that it hit, I think, meant you're getting older, and they didn't like it. Like, don't make him so white-headed, it makes me old.
Because, like, let's be honest, I think like the two things that I picked up on mostly were, like, Seven of Nine's in a uniform, and I find that cool. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, LeVar Burton's, like, the Geordi implants, like, the very blue, kind of, like, very blue implants that they gave him, they were kind of, like, cool, too. And those are the two, I guess, visual details that I picked up on.
Which he's had. They're the same ones he's had, I feel like.
Are they the same? Maybe the contrast similar, was like blown up a bit.
No, they were, like, I've already seen a comparison on this in stark detail.
Oh.
No, they were like black and white and black and silver. But these are definitely like kind of an blue-ish, aqua blue. Yeah.
Oh, that's neat. That's really cool. Yeah,
tech,
I mean,
the tech is advanced.
We live in an HD world, guys.
So. Really, oh, that's do. Very true. They have to make awesome props just to film them up close now.
Well,
yeah.
Speaking of that, like, that's the other extraordinary thing. I mean, I've been trying to.
Wolf has his sash, by the way. So like,
yeah, no, it's not a sash. Remember, it's a baldric.
It's. I was gonna say
people get mad.
Yeah. Oh my god! It's his baldric. Right, I gotta leave. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's not a sash.
I don't. I mean, don't. Oh my gosh! This is 1988 shit we're talking about here. This is not
new. It's true.
I got to type baldric when Memory Alpha was still a gleam in its little digital father's eye. So.
I'm surprised the same people are not focusing on how cool it is that Michael Dorn actually got in the makeup when he hates it. He hates it so much. And he's like, it's clearly makeup. Maybe it's a combination of makeup and CG, but I doubt it. Maybe they hide the lines or whatever, if there are lines, which I don't know, you know, but it looks dang good. Like the fact
it
that it looks really, really good. And so I was impressed with the
whole thing. A whole lot better than Seven's goddamn eyebrow. I'll tell you that.
He is in the makeup again for two reasons. One, it's not, you know, 26 shows
right.
for some whatever. Yeah. And I'm sure they are paying him. And they're paying him a hell of a lot more than what was it, the first or second year of Discovery. And he said he was insulted by what it was. But that was the clueless early years of Discovery. So,
yeah,
things have, you know. Yeah,
they obviously got that right. I listened to the Gates McFadden podcast, Investigates, and his that episode is so good with Michael Dorn. I didn't know much of his personality, but then you know you find out he's a pilot and all these like adventures he's been on and everything.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah, he's pretty and he's very naturally funny.
That's Wait, he's a pirate.
Laughing. Pilot. He's also he's a. Pilot.
Did oh, it come pilot. Out as pilot? Yeah. Yeah, he used to own like retired military aircraft.
Oh, it was... people got mad at his hook. That's why they're mad.
Oh my gosh, imagine Warp had like a prosthetic, like a hook, an actual hook.
Terry, if you're listening to this, you need to reshoot and give him a wooden leg.
Terry is like, no, I'm out of here. I'm working on my next series. He wasn't in San Diego, and I not that we eat dinner together all the time, but I DM'd him and I said, "Where are you? You are never taking credit for this series." And he's like,
"He was watching Stuffy Boy's live stream. That's what he was doing.
He said he was. That's what he said he was doing. I think that meant
Forget
like three
the panel.
Seconds.
I'm talking about the night stuff, the fandom party, and then the Trek party at 10.
Yeah,
forward.
I'm surprised, but he said he's working, right? That's what
yeah,
he said.
Yeah,
dude. Nice.
He said, "Dude, I'm working hard." I said, "Well, you know, I just hope that someday all this hard work is going to pay off, and somebody will pay attention to you." And he's like, "I hope."
I got to shout out Terry though, because like what he's doing, and there's other people, there's like Dave Blast, that kind of stuff. There's a lot of people that are like working on these shows that are just as much part of like the Twitter meme culture, kind of Trek meme society at the moment. And it's hilarious. Like Amos with the gray beard, et cetera.
You saw that? Yes.
Yeah, that was great. You know what's great too is that they're shutting down a lot of these people who are, you know, saying like things that are inaccurate, and it's the final word. No one else. That's all you need is for Terry Metalis to say no, you're wrong, and then that's it. Like no one. There's no more argument. It's like kind of like Larry going into the BBS. Like you know, that's at the end of the.
Well, they'll find another thread to argue on, right?
I saw Terry go wade into something where it was basically a really dude. Really? Like, this is what you want to fight? This is the hill you want to die on out of everything, out of the avalanche of new Trek? Now, you were saying it was kind of scarce, but there was still a lot of info. I mean, just to switch gears a little bit here, I had heard through backstage folks about the crossover episode and that live action Tawny and Jack were going to play, you know, Boimler and Mariner.
So is it just them or is it other people too?
I think it's just them from their cast, but what I didn't know was, and he said it live at the panel, I'm always curious about how these briefings go, like, okay, you can say this and this and this. Like, when do they forget and slip up and oopsie? And when does it look like it's an oopsie, but they've been pretty clear? Because Anson basically said, and there's an extremely buff 2D version of me, I understand too.
Right.
Which suddenly means it's not just about them, about them coming to them, but somehow he's... But here, this is the thing that got me. Everybody lost their shit over the animation live action switchover. But did anybody stop to like do the timeline math? When is Lower Decks set? When
it doesn't matter.
When is Strange New World set?
Time travel shenanigan.
No, I'm saying it's not just a, oh, look, we're on each other's media. they've got to overcome, unless it's Q magic or it's a holo, please God, don't let it be a holodeck or something. You know, please, we've had Jonathan watching Archer. So we've been there, done that. But no, if it's an actual timey-wimey vortex, then you're bridging 120 years.
Oh yeah, true.
You know? So you've got the context. I mean, I just go back to Dorothy in Black and White Kansas, and then she's in, you know, Technicolor Oz. So it'll be like that times 10. What are you laughing about? No, that's the first thing that came to mind. Yeah.
When I heard the news, I think it's exciting on the same level as the Trials and Tribulations was, you know, like, I think it's going to be that kind of thing for this generation of, you know, like, shows. So I'm really excited about it. And I
disagree.
I know that,
I'll let you finish, but I'll say what I think after.
I know that, like, you know, based on what I'm hearing, you know, like, I was kind of already cool with the idea of maybe it's live action and animation, but it's not that. But I like that they'll keep it consistent. Like, if you are going to go to the future in Lower Decks, make it animated. If you're going to the past and you're on Enterprise, make it, you know, keep it live action. Please. So I like that.
What they're really going to miss the boat on is if they go to an in-between place and they're all amphibians.
But, okay. I mean, I told you, Larry, everything leads back to Voyager.
Larry, that's really it. It's what happens when you go to Warp 11.
I just want them to be combined and have some dancing penguins come by or something.
I don't think this
that's
is
a Mary Poppins reference for all of you kids out there. Yeah. I didn't even go to the Roger Rabbit. I heard people say, oh, like Roger Rabbit. I was like, oh yeah, Roger Rabbit. I was thinking Mary Poppins of the Penguins.
Mary Poppins did it first.
Yeah. Look, Bedknobs and Broomsticks is my go-to.
Actually, oh, yeah, Tom and true. Jerry and Gene
oh,
Kelly
did
it first.
Oh, that's right.
There's a
you're
40s MGM
right.
musical where Gene Kelly's dancing with Tom and or Jerry the Mouse.
You're totally right. That's so cool.
That's really cool.
I
gotta go
that.
Check that out.
In Technicolor.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And you know, it's so, sidebar, it's so neat. I studied animation when I was a kid. I wanted to be a Disney animator, and I love the Nine Old Men, and they're my heroes. But back then they would have to print each frame of Kelly dancing and then put a cell over that and then paint and then re-photograph each frame. It's an amazing, it's that's crazy.
They had to treat the live action frame by frame like they did the animation.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, it's so cool.
All right,
all for today, kids. We finished our discussion.
Gone. No, I was going to say, I don't think that this is going to be this generation's Trial and Tribulations, but I think it's going to. I think this is just the beginning. I think this is more of a.
Yeah, that was hyperbolic. What I said, you're right, because it's not the same as TOS. Like,
no,
that's a different
not in that
thing.
Sense.
We're not going far back. We're going back to the time period, but not to the.
Yes. That's true. But I think that this is a trial run. So they're taking their two most popular shows, the two shows that came out of the gate hot, like really hot. Mm-hmm. People are loving Pike and everyone else on the crew. Like, every single character on that show is getting a lot of love. And then the same goes for Lower Decks. Like, it's the hot new thing that even the people that don't know or care about Star Trek are watching. And so they're crossing them over.
Lower Decks
really
also Lower Decks also won people over. It wasn't hot out of the gate, especially with that wobbly teaser opening.
Oh, with the Batleth cutting and the
yeah. Well, I mean, it took me. I didn't see it. The second time I saw it was when I finally realized that she was drunk. Like, that's not going to be how she's going to be 24/7. She was actually drunker and worse than normal. But
no, that's
not
what you mean. She is often drunk. It's just that's not her normal
she
state.
Often wishes she was drunk.
Oh,
no, it would
too.
Explain much. No, what I'm saying is the thing with Lower Decks was there were so many people prepared to, if not hate it, just like be terrified of it. What?
Well,
comedy and animation? Oh my God. And I just think there was the biggest flip. I think so many people were flipped after a few episodes. And that's what makes it even stronger. They weren't prepared to like it. It's like ex-smokers. It's like they're reformed animation haters. And now they're the biggest evangelistas.
To be the nail in the coffin, though. That's the thing. Because they didn't like Discovery, and then they didn't like Picard. And they were like, now they're giving us this animated sitcom. This is it. This is the end. They wanted it to be the end of Star Trek. And it comes out, and it's like, this is not only completely unrelated to the two shows that you already hate, but it's like, it's an homage to all the shows that you do love. So like it's anyway, I think it came out of the gate hot because I loved it straight away. And you know, I mean, Starfleet Boy knows that I've been waiting for this show for years.
Yeah, you were laughing about season 8 of Next Gen, but everybody knows the real season 8 was what Mike McMahon did in his Warped book.
Yeah.
And if you read it, you totally got an idea of his sense of humor.
Right. Well, I was like, following the Twitter account. I didn't know per se about the book, but I was like reading these tweets.
He wrote the book after, I think, because of the success of the Twitter account.
Right. He sold the book based on the
Twitter account. And he talks to Larry about it, if I'm not mistaken, in like this really cool video where he comes up to Larry's booth. And I remember seeing that and being like, holy shiitake mushrooms.
I probably shared it to you. I'm like scouring Larry's YouTube channel for like these old videos. Like,
it's true.
It's from 24. He came up to my, you know, the little Autograph Alley table you can have for 4 hours at a time if you don't have a big booth. And no, he came up in 20, it was 2014. And all I knew was I knew it more. I mean, I saw his Twitter.
Were you Rick and Morty or?
It was just at the dawn of Rick and Morty. But he had sold this. I don't think it was out. But he had sold his Warped Lost 8th Season Next Gen book. But he was an up-and-coming, where he'd worked on some shows, but he wasn't to Rick and Morty fame yet. And he came up and said, hi, he came up with a companion and had me sign his companion.
Yeah.
And he says, how do I sign this? And he says, oh, it's to Mike McMahon, hi. And he has badge on with his name on it, duh. And I'm like, oh, you're doing the Warped, the Lost 8th Season funny book. And he's like, yeah, yeah. So we talked for a minute. And, you know, for a few minutes. And I did the interview with him about his book.
You specifically talked about star dates and how they work.
We went down some pigeonhole. I know this is a shock to you guys, but sometimes when I get in a conversation with other Trek people, the conversation can take a turn and just go down some, you know, wacky hole or another.
Oh, I'm
so yeah,
surprised.
That just happened to be what was on camera. Which then, when I saw the word about him being hired, I'm not a Rick and Morty. I mean, I should watch Rick and Morty, but it's not on my top 20 things to do. But when I saw that he'd been hired to do Lower Decks, I was like, well, that's awesome. And then I got filled in on his, you know, what he'd been doing in the years between. And then you'd see the people going, oh my God, animation and comedy and Star Trek. And I wanted to go read his bleeping book. What are you people worried about? This is, most of all, I kept saying, it's like Adult Swim Star Trek. It's like, come on, you want to penetrate some more generation barriers. You want to fluff up your younger fan base here, and Prodigy's, you know, even more. It's like, what, you people are just like stupid? What are you?
Larry.
What do you think people is going stupid. To, how do you think you're going to build an audience and get into circles that aren't already? We've given
by
up on having Trekkies
like
reproduce
Prodigy.
With baby Trekkie. Huh?
By making things like Star Trek Prodigy.
Exactly. Well, that's the next
step. As well
step.
As Lower Decks, right? But yeah, like that's what you do. That's where you go.
Yeah. And they're different animation styles, that, you know, 2D and 3D. They're different age that they're pointed to, but they're still very... I mean, it's just a bit amazing to watch how people could not understand how an animated series could be heavily invested in canon or Tron. Maybe if they could... But no, I mean, like... And now, that's the other thing about Lower Decks. It's totally gone from people not trusting it to now, I was laughing... with that trailer coming out. I'm like, okay, everybody has now remembered they got to get their mouse clicking finger back in shape because Lower Decks is coming back and you're going to be taking screen grabs every nanosecond. So, you know, hey, it's time for another Easter egg laden Lower Decks season.
I'll tell you what, I'm glad I'm no longer doing the episode reviews. I'm just doing season ones because I can't handle Lower Decks. They're like, it's too much. It kills me. I have like a 7-minute review and then there's like 21 minutes of just like Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then there's this thing and it happened in this. And it's like, there are so many Easter eggs that all of these like canon freaks that think they know everything, it goes over their heads. Like even me, like sometimes I'm like, I'm sure that's a reference to something. You know what? Leave it be. Every single weapon is a reference to something.
What's getting me now, because I haven't been doing that, is just watching that trailer, watching the various aliens they have just walking by as background extras, like when they're doing the career fair booths, which I love. Oh, by the way, did you know when Mariner is calling out her hawking, she's hawking the Starfleet booth at the career fair or whatever that is? And she's saying like, join Starfleet, see the galaxy. And at one point she says, prepare yourself for Warp 10 excitement. Did you see where that's from? The Wrath of Khan novelization from 1982. The blurb on the back of the novelization says, prepare yourself for Warp 10 excitement.
That's amazing.
Okay.
So, do you believe Mike Mann is a madman.
Do you think that's a legit that's reference amazing. Or do you think it's just a coincidence?
No, it's why would you think that's a coincidence with someone like Mike McMahon? Like, that's like ridiculous.
For all of you audio listeners, Larry is staring me down here.
Yeah, because like that's so silly that you would say that.
I'm just asking.
I'm sorry, Toddy. I had this feeling you were a Star Trek fan. I can see now. Okay,
I'll go back to my forums and ask why.
You know what, Larry just showed you that the Earth is a sphere, and you said, "Oh, but is it really, or is that a coincidence?"
I'm just saying.
You're a flat Star Trekker. You're a flat Star Trekker.
You're a flat Fetty.
You're a flat Trekkie. You're a flat Trekkie.
Fetty as in a Federation-y.
Flat Federation. Flat you're Fetty. Flat Fetty, yes.
As opposed to flat... Oh, Flat Freddy was the vacation thing. Oh,
hey, look, the Dominion War was a scam. It wasn't real. It never happened.
Yeah. What was the guy? Wolf 359 was an inside job. Yeah.
But I'll tell you what. You were Sean, you were saying earlier, I think you were going into the direction of like this was a trial run. This feels like a trial run for the bigger crossover event.
Oh, yeah.
Alex Kurtzman's planning. I have a proposal.
Testing the waters.
I have a proposal for the. It starts like this. This is how it starts. And this,
just let Kurtzman sit down for a bit.
Okay.
So that he can listen.
Okay, Mr. Kurtzman, sit down. All right. So this is how it starts out. Mr. Kurtzman.
All right.
We fade from black on Captain Kirk dying. With the blood on his, mouth and everything on the bridge, in Star Trek Generations, and he's
that was fun.
He's about to say, he's exactly.
End of
but
the
then,
episode.
Then you hear on your left, and through a time portal, Dr. Crusher comes in and
on
injects
your left,
him with
really?
Some.
Yes, yes, with that's the Marvel what you hear. Reference.
Yes, okay. Yes. Okay. And, well, Kevin Feige will love it because he bases everything on Star Trek. But anyways, she hits him with a little thing on his neck, and he goes instantly into stasis, and she's also cloaked and invisible. So then when Picard buries him after that, he comes back to life, and there we go. We start the crossover, and that's it.
The rocks all start to separate, and you exactly. have zombie
you know what?
Come up out of
the
rock.
The rocks become a being like Korg.
Yes. Yes, and it's Galaxy Quest / deleted Star Trek V Rockman all over again, or something.
Little
okay,
Rockman.
So are we ever going to start talking about the Star Trek news from Hall H at Comic Con?
Yes,
we have. This is why I say there were no big surprises because, we knew about.
What do you mean?
Okay, we knew about the TNG. Hear me out. We knew about the TNG cast coming back already. We just got some visual, confirmation of that. Strange New Worlds, we knew that they're confirmed for season 2. We know that they're already coming back, so the big news in that was the crossover with Lower Decks. But then Lower Decks, we knew also season 3 is just around the corner, so we got a trailer, and that's really cool. And that's the gist of what happened at the thing. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just because I'm really excited. All the news that they showed us was great.
We forgot to talk about the Wrath of Pecan ice cream. Oh my god, that was really good.
But Sean, I think you're also what was the last big thing, according to you, that was at Comic-Con? Because I feel like they always give you teasers at Comic-Con, then Vegas seems to have more meat, and now Mission Chicago exists, so I feel like they'll save.
Yes, I agree that they're doing that.
Yeah, so why,
That makes sense. Until they have 57 shows to announce per year, like Disney, they won't, you can't bring everything to San Diego Comic-Con, right? So that makes sense. But I will say that the news that they gave us was good. There was no point in bringing in a Discovery panel just to say, hey, we're still a thing, but they have nothing to talk about. You know what I mean? There's no point in doing that. So spend the time on the things that are coming up, and spend the time on the things the two big shows that people are really excited for.
And I think you're also forgetting that they probably had a limited time frame, because it's not their show.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean.
And
so
they had an hour and a half, and they
Hall H
basically
is the most expensive
did 30 minutes
place
per.
To be, isn't it?
I don't think Picard. I didn't actually time. Here's the thing.
Each panel was 20 minutes, like around 20 minutes. Each
panel. And then they had passing time.
I have major love for major love for Prodigy. I have major love for Prodigy, and I would have enjoyed some Prodigy news. I also feel, and this is just a personal thing, I feel like Prodigy got way too disrespected for being cut off halfway through their season, and now they're pulling out three seasons before the end of Prodigy comes out, and I will be mad about that. But I understand why they're not bringing Prodigy out at San Diego Comic-Con. It's not like it's not as big a thing for the moment. It hasn't got that much of a target audience. And I think that like it's more of like more adults were going to the Star Trek panel than like little kids. So I understand why they didn't bring Prodigy there.
Guys apparently haven't heard the rumors, I guess, then.
What's going on?
Well, they're going to do the live action crossover with Prodigy where they have Mariner. Tawny is going to be live action Mariner, and she's going to come in and corrupt all the Prodigy kids.
And they'll be like the little rascals.
They're all drinking alcohol and killing each other with bat lifts by the time they get to the Federation.
She's going to come zoom in on her stellar snark engine and blow, you know, happy legit Janeway, hollow Janeway away. No, I'm kidding. No, it is. It does. I hate to say disrespect. Now, Aaron Waelke was there for another panel.
Yeah,
he was
walking around. Did you get to see that panel? I was so curious about it.
I didn't. Okay. And, the Benson sisters, who worked on season one and not season two, they showed up and were at the Trek party, which was great. And I selfied with them. But yeah, the Prodigy repping wasn't there, but they could have done something. Or, you know, I mean, for the purposes of rope lines and whatever. Anyway. Yeah, I think they were just hitting now here. I don't know. The thing that got me though was I started to say I had heard about the crossover like 2 or 3 months ago. What the biggest surprise to me in the meta sense was it's from midway. I know it's like partway into the season. I was like, wow, it's halfway through the season. Then I went, well, duh, it's 10 weeks. It's like the middle of the season is as a month in. So it's no big deal. But it's a year away. Like, why are they revealing this? And I kind of got the idea that it was starting to filter out and was going to bust out and be leaked early. And they just wanted to be on top of controlling the surprise. Because otherwise, but the other thing is, like you said, Sean, now that we've sat back and looked, there wasn't a whole lot of new. So it's like that was kind of the zing headline, you know, flash news the mundane media world could grab onto.
If they really wanted to bring something like completely unexpected out, like they would have announced something like, we're going to carry on the Short Treks, something like that. I would have been like, what the fuck?
You know what I mean? Like, I hate to break it to you, but the New York Times and Deadline would not have really cared a whole lot about Short Treks.
as far as
grabbing some headlines.
Well, Larry brings up a good point. It's more of a showcase, and that's what I'm excited about. Vegas is coming like right up, so you know there's going to be stuff at Vegas. I think still, right, Larry? They're still,
but Vegas is not licensed anymore.
Anymore,
and not that
that's
it's,
right.
It's not like blacklisted
Seattle
or anything.
Seattle is where the announcements
and
are
they do. Yeah,
now.
So now. You've got spring and you've got summer Comic-Con because you have to, because that's where you've got the big boy chair at the table. And a lot of people were ceding their space. So it's like, I was really thinking about, and my Tuesdays live, my Trekland Tuesdays live, which you can hear every week at 1 PM Pacific, on all the Trekland channels. But the thing aside from the big Hall H splash, what struck me was, and this was not studio driven, it's individuals. But because you've got so many series, it was helpful that Picard was LA based. But even with some of the Toronto based people who worked on Discovery and Strange New, and by the way, I resent for some reason, I didn't think about it up front, but I hate saying Strange New Worlds. It's like it's one syllable too long. I keep calling it Strange New. I don't know why.
What about Strange Worlds? Where Strange Worlds,
like,
something else.
It's like they're in the day, the lingo versions were Next Gen and Deep Space. Like nobody ever said Deep Space Nine. They just said Deep Space. But no
That's
one.
That's true. I remember that.
You in God's green earth, no one ever said boy. Okay, end of rant.
I told that to Sean. I said we had this exact.
It's just how I say boy. Thing.
Yes, because he says boy. And then and then they put it on Lower Decks where Boimler's saying. Oh yeah, I love Voyager.
Should we call it Stranger Worlds?
Stranger World, yeah.
That should be what season two is.
In 94, 95, the studio was going to have the, before anybody thought of this, like it wasn't a thing, but in the pre-internet days, they were going to make the official, because TNG and DS9 were duh, and TOS had been fan, you know, fan created to counter TNG, because we suddenly, it's like no one ever called a phone anything but a phone until we had cordless phones.
Right.
And then suddenly we had corded phone. Like the first time I saw the phrase corded phone, I was like, what? Oh, okay. So it's like TOS was not a thing until we had Next Generation.
Right. You're absolutely right.
And the original, true. And they called it classic because of the classic Trek, New Trek debacle.
Right.
You know?
Wait a minute.
It was classic Trek and New Trek. Right. In the original. Every time people call Kurtzman Trek New Trek now, like it's a dig, I was like, what is this, 1987? And we're talking about next gen? No, it's guys, true. At least get a new, at least so get a funny. New insulting moniker if you're going to.
Also, Sean, it's people now, it's official, so I can't say anything about it. Like, it's not hashtag VOY. It should have been VGR, in my opinion.
That yeah, well, Alpha fights me on that on a regular basis.
In 95, the studio started to have it be VOY. And we all, I mean, everybody connected to official printing, like the Akudas and the Encyclopedia,
VGR.
Me at the Communicator magazine, we all said, no, that just looks weird. We're not going to call it VOY, and we called it VGR. And then there were some people who would say, but now you're going to confuse it with VGR from the motion picture. And I'm like, by the time there's 180 episodes and you've got an episode title in front of it, no,
that's
one's
rich.
Gonna...
I'm cracking up because Larry's reminding
me. That's rich
me...
coming from the man that didn't want to call it LDS because of the Latter-day Saints.
Well, yes. I was going to go industrial and call it LDX.
I like see? That. That's what I gravitated to as well.
Yes.
But yeah. And also because it's a reference to Star Trek 4, so it works nicely.
And why?
No,
I want
to
look at Mike
call it LDX.
Why didn't you call it The Lower Decks? Then we could just call it TLD and be done with it.
TLD. That's also too long, didn't
The Lower Decks. Hey, guys. These aren't just Larry any Lower Decks. They're The Lower Decks.
The Lower Decks.
Larry Nemeczek can't say Strange New Worlds, but he's going to say The Lower Decks? No, I don't believe it.
No, I didn't say that. I said I'm going to say TLD.
Oh, okay, I see.
See, huge difference. It's a whole other couple of letters different.
Oh, man, but Larry, I was cracking up. You were reminding me of all the debates in like middle school and high school that like all my Trekkie friends, we would gather together, we're playing Dungeons & Dragons and arguing about all this stuff like... You know, you reminded me. That's true. These were all things that were going on. That's crazy. And it's like all of this has happened before, and all of this will happen again. Type
yes.
of thing.
Which is the reassuring thing. That's what.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
No. Look, I remember.
So now Discovery. Are you still mad that it's called like? Are you happy that it's like DSC? Or you?
Yeah, I like DSC. That's
yeah, DSC
proper.
Makes more sense.
Well, you couldn't. Call
I also
it
like
dis,
disco.
And your disco's yeah, fine. It yeah. sounded fun. I was sad about that because for the disco hating generation. Yeah, diss as in I'm going to diss it. Yeah, but all the smartasses that were trying to say STD, I'm like, no, nothing else is ST anything.
It was clever.
We didn't call
I guess...
Enterprise STE.
Although that would have been cool because
Picard
it's
is
like...
STP, right?
Yeah, but... it's the razor's edge. Yeah, look it up, kids. STP is the razor's edge. Okay,
Sean, you know that's it was it's an oil brand, right?
But it's
it
a used fuel to be additive.
A fuel additive, yeah. But
it still
they
is.
Have,
isn't
like
it?
Stations.
Don't they still
right?
make okay, it. Everybody had STP stickers on your jacket,
right.
notebook, in your car. And,
yeah.
The French in me just like STP is short for s'il te plaît. STP in French, so it's please. So,
oh,
like that, so I just go yeah exactly so I go straight to like please if it's STP but
well no it pick drives me crazy the same way boy does but I don't know what the hell you're gonna do at this point you know so you're just kind of
you
want to
call it Star Trek Mr. Pickett
you could call it PRD but that would be
PRD?
I had actually if you wanted to do it without vowels do like DSC is Discovery without vowels
right.
so Picard
right.
I was gonna say call it PCD.
PCD,
yeah,
PCD,
and if you say, and if you enunciate,
yeah,
the, if you
better.
Pronounce
yeah,
the vowels,
Picard,
I mean,
yeah, there it
if
is,
you
Picard,
pronounce
there
the consonants, you it's kind of like Picard, So it's close to it.
I'm using hashtag PC.
These are the real. These are the real debates, by the way. Like people. By the way, this is a legit.
Yes, this is a legit.
But remember, like 2 years ago, this was the huge thing, and then I was like, "Well, thank God for Strange New Worlds. Thank God for Strange New Worlds. Just don't confuse it and say what I do is I say SNL half the time. Go, oh no, not SNL, SNW. W is a three-syllable letter. Damn it, yeah. Which makes it rough. But yeah,
we equal. Well, I mean, Lower Decks is kind of like the outlier in the sense because, like, we've only had either three words or one word.
Mm-hmm. It's an outlier. Lower Decks is like sense. Yeah, there's a whole reason why.
There's a whole college course going to be taught next semester on the three-letter code. Thank God for S21, and you know, and then we'll have SFA. But then you'll get into the whole thing about Starfleet is one word. So if you say SF for Starfleet, you're going back to splitting up Starfleet into two words.
That's why Starfleet Boy After Dark is SBAD. Yes.
Actually, that's probably why they canceled Short Treks. That's just sad. Because no one knew how to call it. They were like, is it ST? We don't know. Just exactly. Cancel it.
Well, you could just, if you wanted to, you could call it SHT, but that would be really bad.
Show? That's Showtime. That's another network. You can't call it another network.
Guys, do you really want me to blow your mind?
Yes.
Do you want to go back? Can I go back to 1966 and really blow your mind on this?
Yes, please.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you know that every original series script and memo calls Starfleet two words? Starfleet, capital F.
But, no, I didn't know
but
that.
But the one time it's on screen is when Kirk opens up the little Talos IV order, and it says Starfleet one word, and that's why we see people. I mean, forget Memory Alpha. 30 years ago, we're saying, "Well, it's on cameras, one word, so it must be one word." And it's another case where the people writing scripts just didn't know what the real world was. So, but because of that one thing, we make Starfleet one word.
Larry, I have a question for you related to that. Are you involved with the Roddenberry Project, the archive?
I'm not, except watching them get. I mean, I would like to. They got enough people. It's amazing. Right. It's all. It's very techie based.
But what I was curious is that the kind of stuff that'll be on there? Like, will we be able? Do you think we'll be able to go back and read these old scripts and stuff? And is that the type of stuff that'll be in the archive? And
oh,
available?
It's not,
or is it already? Or is that already available on their archives? They have a digital archive thing, I think.
They started to do one with, I've gone blank on the company. I did a Stellar Cartography talk. They built this virtual, you know, kind of like a second city and kind of like what STO has on the personal level.
Right, okay.
You know, when they have a memorial to Aaron Eisenberg at DS9 or kind of a thing, and you can go into that virtual. They built this with a Roddenberry amphitheater, and they, for 2 or 3 years... I've totally gone blank on the company. But it's online. Somebody like they didn't have an inherent recorder. And I was like, you mean I just did this 2-hour show and went through the history of Star Trek, star charting, and it's not recorded. And they're like, no, sorry. And then somebody had stumbled into it on Twitch and recorded the whole thing on Twitch. So it was recorded,
fabulous.
Which
cool.
was amazing. But this is like that times 100 because there were limited, like that you could only have 40 people live with their avatars to watch a program. So this is going to be a quantum leap. But they were starting to digitize some things then, and you could walk around the outer thing and see Majel's license plate and pick up some prop phasers and, you know, do
you know,
some
that's
stuff.
That's a neat idea. You were just, I think, trying to say this was the quantum archive. So you put on your little goggles and you go into mm-hmm. the quantum archive mm-hmm. and you can pull anything yes. out. Oh, that's really amazing.
And then
I
you
like
too
that.
Can do episode one of Picard season one. Right. But it's really kind of this. What they're doing is kind of that idea.
That idea, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I wish. But you throw me
when you say, "Can people see these scripts?" Because you know, Lincoln's. I mean, you know, Roddenberry.com's 40-year predecessor, Lincoln Enterprises. You know, their original name for it. You could just buy scripts for ages. There's still scripts. They're giving away scripts. They're sitting in archives.
I know that I can.
Yellow
and I know that I
80s.
Can see. And I know I can go to that Chakotay.net something or other. Right. I forget the and
but
they're
those
all
are
there.
Transcripts. Yeah. Just remember when you go there, gotcha. They're good for dialogue. But if you want the shit that's in the action lines or the you know,
right, you got to get right. It's different.
Action line is the TV movie word for stage direction, which would be in the, you know, parentheses to tell you that it's not dialogue. But if you want all that stuff and like you'd see what the set was called, you know, scene 27, interior, deck 13, forward lounge or whatever. If you want to see what the, you know, like from Haven before they had 10 forward. If you want to see what sets are officially called, you'd see the set list and you'd see it in the script, which is not what the Chakotay, that's just a transcript.
Thing is, right, yeah. That's just transcript.
It's great. Well, but yeah, and there's a few scripts that are actually scanned. Like we, for the Voyager documentary, I have my Voyager, you know, the scripts over here, and that's what's mainly over there.
Cool.
I got the whole 7 years of Voyager scripts, and they paid for the scanning, but I helped get them all scanned so they could use it.
Oh, great.
For referencing. So they're pulling their, you know, they want to look up a clip based on a topic.
That's really, really
that's
cool.
Very, so now there's, you know, but anyway, but it's a huge thing to scan scripts, but so yeah, and who knows sometimes if Chakotay's transcripts are doing, you know, the equivalent of Starfleet. Because no. Ina Provoline got spelled 19 different ways over the years. They make the joke about the Magatu and the Magato, which I thought was way over. Like, that's not a thing. No one ever mispronounced Magato or Magato after, you know. It all started with D not saying it what was typed. So they said it, and then one other person said it with an O and not a U or whatever.
Right.
But oh my God, now Lower Decks has made it this thing that like every third fan for 50 years has said it wrong. It's like, no. Have your fun, Mike. Have your fun. Sure.
I have another question about SDCC. Did you get to the 10
forward? Wait, who let this guy in the press conference? No.
Did you get to 10 forward? You and Sean were way off topic. I'm bringing it back.
I was going to bring it back. So, okay. Ask your question.
Did you make it to 10 forward?
Oh, yeah. Which, you know,
I'm dying to see that. Oh,
they had
gosh,
that.
So cool.
I don't know. They were putting so much stuff in the goodie bag, the gift bags, that I'm thinking, well, they're going to shut this down now because it's like they're throwing tons of things in these bags. Like they're not going to carry the merch anymore or something. I don't know. But it was the pop-up for the season premiere. It was a pop-up in L.A.
Right.
And they had this and they sold the slots. So you could come in and eat and drink.
I actually paid someone to buy, like, to get all the swag, so I have all this
stuff.
Oh,
well, cool. God, I just had it. What was really cool was they had a Klingon, I didn't get it at the time, because you had to pick out, everything was in a bag preloaded except for one thing, and they'd say, you want the red t-shirt or the white t-shirt? And I'm like, well, I want the white, so I can read it. And then it turns out that it was this, and I'm trying to remember if this was a joke expanded in Lower Decks or what it was, but it was turns out that the t-shirt was like a Klingon metal goth band's logo, and it's a tour shirt. And on the back is like all their tour dates.
Isn't that the t-shirt from Picard that like Riker's daughter wears?
Yes,
like
that's what
the Klingon Sex Pistols?
Yep, that's
okay.
What it is.
Okay, but did it have...
It's Kestra's shirt.
Did it have the tour dates on the back? And the tour
I'm pretty
places?
Sure it did, yeah.
Oh, okay. Sure, well, then there we go. You.
I remember the front. I remember seeing the front.
I have got to wade through the episodes like I used to do. I'm amazed that Yorg gets all this. It's amazing that he's got a whole Twitter channel.
He's completely nuts.
Well, it's nuts, but it's what I did in the 90s. And, the, you know, it's like how I... But it's like you had told me then that if I stopped every 5 minutes and took a picture of what I was doing and sent it out to the world, that I could have my own media empire. I would have said, you're crazy. But for one thing, we couldn't make frame grabs then. You had to like take notes and sketches. But
I didn't learn how to do frame grabs until very recently. I kept trying and my Mac kept turning the frames black. And then someone taught me the secrets.
Yeah, welcome to 1996. Okay.
In 1996, you could take whatever you wanted on the internet.
Well, yeah, it's because like all the streaming services have their inbuilt like security thing where you can't take a screen grab, so... Yeah. Anyway, no. I'm going to close this off somewhat.
What?
I'm going
to
get.
Oh, my gosh, Sean! Did we get to everything you wanted to deal with?
Except one thing. I think the last thing that we haven't talked about that was announced at San Diego Comic-Con is like a throwaway line, kind of, where they mentioned that don't worry, we have a lot of female lead shows that are coming.
That. Yes.
So, like, my speculation immediately is, like, Michelle Yeoh in the Section 31.
That's
I'm going easy. Fenris Rangers, or at least, if it's
not
Fenris
Rangers,
it's, like, Seven of Nine in Federation,
like,
maybe.
Yeah, it'll be a start. Maybe it's the next
And I'm also thinking, finally, maybe that Starfleet Academy one with, and it'll be female-led as well. So, what are you guys thinking the same thing as me?
The Starfleet Academy with who?
they're talking, like, they said there will be
a
more
female,
female,
so it could
led.
Be Mary Wiseman, or yeah, I think it's gonna be Mary Wiseman if that's the case,
or yes. Superintendent Janeway.
Oh
no!
I know that would be a waste.
I don't see. I think they would set the Starfleet Academy show with the new Starfleet Academy, like in the far future. And I think Mary Wiseman, like giving her like lead on that show, would be a good
yeah.
Yeah.
I think Section 31 with Michelle Yeoh has probably diminished, or like I think she'll introduce it and then that'll be it, and then the new whoever the lead is will be the announced in that introduction or whatever. So that's okay. What I think is going to happen. She's too busy. She's just so like, I feel like just from what I'm yes. seeing, she's in everything and
she's a goddamn superstar. Well, she ain't got no time.
But, you know,
it's a matter of time before she's on, she gets her own superhero in the next Avengers, you know, or something like she's on that trajectory. It feels like, you know,
but
so.
You know, we're only talking about a dinky little 10 episode season. So
yeah. So, or maybe they're waiting. Maybe it's on hold for her, you know, like maybe that's mm-hmm. what it is. Yeah. That could be true too, Larry. You're totally right. But
I'm still waiting on
either
Star
on the
Trek
back burner or yeah, it's either on the back burner. That Section 31 has that potential. It's either on the back burner at this point or in permafrost. But I do think the Starfleet Academy show. I made Larry giggle. That's awesome. I do think the Starfleet Academy show has a lot of potential, and I think I was really impressed with Mary Wiseman and like the mm-hmm. the cadets that she was wrangling in that one episode of Discovery. Yeah. So I would like to see her do it. And just because, you know, the idea of Rafi leading one too sounds awesome. I think time we could go back in time sometimes.
I do think it's
like
more
maybe
a
she admires
and show than a Rafi.
No. I'm just saying no. I was thinking my two predictions or what I would like is either the Mary Wiseman show or the Michelle Hurd Academy show, but you could do them both. She Mary Wiseman could discover her law, you know, like, I mean, sorry, Tilly, I keep saying the actor instead of the character, but Tilly could be reading about Rafi's logs and she could be a source of inspiration. You can have both periods represented in the one show.
If you want to, though, not touch on the same worthwhile nerve that, and even though it was fake in the Kelvin universe, the whole thing about Kirk barely getting out of the academy and then getting a field command to be captain, and that how that drove people crazy with good reason.
Right.
Tilly is still kind of young to be the academy, depending on who's running the show, either the commandant or the superintendent. I just love how
that's right. No, it would be Kovich or whatever, but her show would be from the perspective of a trainer or like a sergeant.
Yeah, or exactly. Yeah, somewhere on the
somewhere on that. Like,
and you could have the actual commandant or and that.
That's right.
You know, yeah,
that's where they're gonna kill you, Larry. They're gonna call it Star Trek Professor, and you're gonna have a second PRO. How are you gonna deal with that?
Well, if it's Star Trek Professor, yeah. Oh my God, Prodigy! I wanted Prodigy to be I wanted Prodigy to be PDG. You could say PDG, and you've almost said Prodigy.
But it's pro.
Because if you've got a Star Trek show that's pro, it's like, oh, what? We have an amateur Star Trek show?
Yeah, that's right.
That's the first thing I thought. It was like, oh, like everybody else is in it. What? I'm sorry, we all got paychecks. We're not a bunch of amateurs here.
I have a final question before. Oh, you wanted to finish something?
I was saying, and the other show that I would think would be, well, that could be the one with, you know, and the other show that I think would be a thing that I would love to see is a Seven or Captain Hansen show on the Stargazer. So yeah, I'd be super down for that. Yeah.
So every that time would be... someone says Captain Hansen, I think of the guy that had the con during Menagerie and Court Martial. It's like, well, there's this, the thing that John Champion played on Star Trek Continues. Like, well, there's a scintillating character that's worth, giving a show
to. Oh my gosh.
Or that's been now ethnically recast to be Commander Hansen, Arabic last name of the whole Balance of Terror.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
It's not, it's...
Here's...
It's Hansen. It's still Hansen, but what his first name is? No. I forget what they did, but yeah.
Now Hansen became his first name, unless
first name. That's right.
And anyway, one other little time that we mentioned it really early about Worf. The thing about Worf, besides the white beard, was, and we talked about it, his sword. It's a new sword.
Yes,
and
the Kerleth,
Terry,
or the Kerleth.
Yeah, the Kerleth.
Yes.
And you know that Leth was the Anglified. I mean, it was really Tleh, but no. After a few years, the stage people, the writers. when it went to DS9 with Worf, they gave up. Talk about script usages. They tried to say Batle or Batle. Gave the actual Klingonese that Michael Mark Okrun tried to help him come up with, because it's Klingon for honor sword. You knew that, and then Mechlef was kind of just come up with because it sounded
You just gave me new knowledge, because I'll tell you something: the Klingons, other than Worf, don't really interest me.
Oh my goodness.
So you were a secret fan through the 80s and 90s. They're pretending that you cared because the Klingons
in the 90s. I liked the Klingons, and in DS9, I loved the Klingons. The Klingons became my favorites, some of my favorites in DS9.
Like the Klingons, but I was like... or love the Klingons?
But I actually feel like, for me, growing up, the Vulcans were my focus. So, you know, I was a dick as a kid, so basically, yeah, like, no, the Vulcans were only dicks in Enterprise. They were actually really cool before that.
The Vulcans are the reason we have a franchise, but, you know, and it's the number true, one Vulcan, true. But yeah. So
I'm trying to say I was a common fan. Okay. He's just... I was not an uncommon fan.
He wasn't a pro, see?
He was just that's true. Hello, he's just a common fan. what I'm trying to get here to is the Kurleth. I wrote to Mark Alimo. Wow, where did that come from? Mark Okrun. I wrote to Mark Okrun to see, because I had an idea what had happened, but I wanted to check. So, because Terry and Twitter kind of, he said, by the way, that sword is called a Kurleth.
Right.
And people are going, oh, that's cool. And I said, I wrote it in caps, Kurleth, because Terry had said designed by Dan Curry.
Right.
Who designed, you know, blah, blah. At this point, people forgot that he was the visual effects producer. He's going to go, his tombstone will say, inventor of the Backleth and Mechleth. So I said, after he said, made the thing to say, invented by Dan Curry. And of course, Curry is C-U-R-R-Y, and K was, you know, Klingified to K. And I said, the Kurleth? Really? That's awesome. Like, are you naming it for Dan Curry? And he said, it is. Which was his cool. Twitter vague way of saying yes, it, you know, whatever. I wrote Mark. I was curious about Mark Okrun, and I said, did you know about this? Is this something that this? I looked in the Klingon dictionaries that are searchable, and didn't see a K-U-R, or actually it would be like a Q-U-R, up or down case. And he said, nope, that's new to me. But if they named it for Dan Curry, that's fine with me. So nice. they'll retcon something a word for it. Cur, like they retcon mech, you know. Being a Q,
sort of faith or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I have one last
sort of
question.
Size.
Sort of. I have one last question, and maybe you guys can help me with this. The movie that will eventually come out in 2023? That'll probably be delayed to like 2025. like Star Trek 4 from the Kelvin timeline.
Do Arabic you guys 4.
Yeah, do you guys think that would be announced, like, with all of these new shows, or that's a different, like, it's under the same roof?
Well, it was announced
now.
Already, but
no,
I guess
but no,
you
that's
want
not what
news,
I mean, like,
right?
No, yeah. No. What, if they want to do a panel about it, do you
is
think
it
they
all
would
the same
do it in
pot
the same,
now?
Yes, yeah. Is it in the same lineup?
Oh, yeah.
Is what I'm asking.
Well, I think part of the dance of this thing about having four different people announced for writing scripts, even in the last 7 days, no, I'm kidding, I think all of the movie side stuff is all about restitching Paramount and CBS back together again, and who's doing what turf. And in like, obviously nobody at CBS was in charge of motion pictures, except there was this nascent little motion picture division at CBS.
At CBS.
And whatever. So there are a lot of people, there's a lot of headbanging going on. It's kind of like, it's like, who's going to emerge? If you have, you know, like when you have a corporation buy out something and there's an accounting department and both of them, the big company, the little company's accounting people are all let go, and the big company's accounting people become the thing because you don't need to duplicate. And that's what's going on in all these departments up and down. And part of that applies to the motion picture side. And some of that confusion, like, did Kurtzman say we only care about TV, but he wanted to put a foot in that world? And the movie side of Paramount was so disheveled. I mean, they couldn't do a Trek movie because they lost their Chinese financing.
They were
so
in disarray.
It was in, thank you, the big D word. So That's all been mending, and people, what little there was, those little people had been jockeying for what's who's doing what and what's. I mean, the guy who's head of animation, I've gone, Brian something, had that story 6 months ago that I thought was amazing, where he's now in charge of motion pictures or what. But he basically said, yes, we need to do a live action and whatever it will be, if it's Kelvin or whatever, a JJ. He's like, but, you know, we don't have to stop there. And he was very high on Prodigy being great for kids and adults. And if they'd ever show the damn first season, maybe it would happen. But he was even talking about looking at the SpongeBob experience and some of the other animations that have had an animated movie, you know, not to knock the, not to for a billion dollar box office. Or the
Nickelodeon roster.
Yeah, but as a, you look at the raw, and as a synergistic thing, like a movie will get new people eyeballs in a theater who will go home. Right. And, oh, look, there's 47 episodes here at home. But that kind of synergy and having, he says, who knows, we might have a Prodigy motion picture before we have a live action or soon after.
They're not mutually exclusive. You just made me think about something. That's what it's going to lead up to. Good. The crossover event's going to be the movie. That movie. Like a movie, they'll do it as a movie, I think. That would make sense. Even if shows are running, you go back to your show after you're done with the movie. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you don't have to end a show. You don't have to end a show just to jump into the movies. Right. Like, that's been the tradition. The but old why model. Do that? Yeah, exactly.
The movies are the cherry on top for the cast. That
yeah, well. So, yeah. But just, yeah, so like you do a crossover event, running shows hop on for the movie and then go back.
And so I think it's the hop on, cool. hop off movie.
Hop on, yeah, exactly.
That's what it is.
So that could be something, you know.
But as far as whether, I mean, eventually we'll look at it all in one big
thing. Pot. Yeah.
So like the Berman era when the movies and the TV shows were all. But right now they're still knitting all that back together.
You think once they eventually figure out what the hell they're doing with this film and they actually have some sort of like trailer, some sort of lineup of like people, what they're going to, they will announce it in the same kind of like. Jam as they announced,
of course,
like Lower Decks and a lot of other shows. Okay.
And we were talking about Vegas not being official anymore, but think about this. They've been developing Star Trek Day as a standalone virtual thing, and they were going to have a big, they had a little live component last year, which was going to be a lot bigger, and then the COVID wave came back. I know that was, there were like maybe 200 people in a little tiny auditorium, and everybody's being very cautious. I know for a fact that it was planned to be a huge, like 1,000 people event thing. And
that's
they had
we are getting Star Trek days. Like,
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of opportunities. Yeah. So I think a lot Star of this Trek stuff, spreads it out. Yeah.
So now you've got, but look at Star
Disney
Trek's calendar.
Disney Plus Day is going to be the same day as Star Trek Day. Cause Disney, cause they're bastards. They announced it the same day.
Who cares about it's our day, damn it. Come
yeah, on. I know, but if they're out here
did
announcing
Disney Plus launch on that day?
That just shows we've got
No. Disney Plus just announced a few months ago we're doing it this day. And I was like, but that's Star Trek.
Well,
day.
That's the that beauty just... of streaming is that you can have your cake and eat it too.
Sean, that just shows that we got Disney running scared.
That's true. That is true. I agree.
You know what? That's a great place to end it.
Yes, I agree.
Star Trek has got Disney running scared. You can announce as much product as you want.
Yeah. But I mean, you got First Contact Day, you've got Star Trek Day, you've got Comic-Con, and wherever the hell the spring pop
mission, the missions.
Pop mission thing is landing in the spring, you've got that. So, yeah. And they use New York Comic-Con in October, too. So
yeah, oh, that's right. There's so many. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we've talked about everything that needed to be talked about.
Yeah, I feel this was a meaty. We have a lot of Trek beef in here.
Trek beef.
If you have strong opinions about the letters that we should be using for specific shows, please drop us an email.
Please don't drop us a line.
create a very long thread on Twitter.
You tag can everyone. Larry.
Yeah, you can at Larry Nemechek.
But should the letters be used in salt and pepper gray, or should those letters be all white?
So we're trying to figure out what letters to use for Larry Nemechek. We don't know if it's like L M L N K. We just don't know.
There's a middle name if you really want to be southern and horrible. Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for being here with me.
Thanks for having us.
You can, I guess, promote something if you want to. before we go, I'll put some links in the description anyway.
Starfleet Boy can be found on Saturdays talking about TOS at 3 p.m. Eastern. Next, we're going to do the animated series. And then on Sundays, I'm over on Trek Central until the new shows pop up. Then I'll also have a stream on Sundays talking about the new shows. So stay tuned.
Indeed.
Nope, nothing.
Nothing. Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
It's got nothing to
but
promote.
I will encapsulate this. Everything's at LarryNemechek.com. Okay, Twitter's Larry Nemechek. Everybody, if you have not yet, I got into the YouTube game late. If you would go like and subscribe Larry Nemechek's Trekland on YouTube, that would be awesome.
There
I'm
are
gonna
clips
start
of Mike McMahon, people. Come on.
I am going to start a little 5 to 10 minute thing now. It's called Dr. Trek's Second Opinion.
Ooh.
And it's going to be for all the people who, when I take my Tuesday's Trekland live show and cut it down to 30 minutes for YouTube, and that's still too much. So it's going to be a fresh little take. Saturday's the aim day for when the episodes come back, starting with Lower Decks. But I'm going to do a couple before that. And so that'll be a little 5 to 10 minute shorty thing, standalone. On
espressos. He's doing Star Trek espressos.
But when you come to LA, as far as a live experience, we will, you know, Trekland Treks is you come to LA and we will figure out your itinerary. There's over 50 live location sites. There's nothing. Go to the Star Trek tours in New York, the License Museum. That's great for the Starship sets. But when you want to go outdoors and where places were filmed, things were filmed, we'll put it together with you and do that. That's a trek. And then the Gene Roddenberry History Tour, which is an event, is August 20th and 21st. And we're doing the big multi-day thing next year in July. So if that whets your appetite and sounds interesting, check all that out. But LarryNemechek.com is the hub of everything.
The hub. Everyone go to the hub. Thank you guys so much for being here and talking about this Star Trek news with me. Thank you everyone for listening. Live long and prosper.
Thank you, Sean. Trek well.